Church, and what an awesome time that we get to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to welcome you here this morning, as well as everyone that is joining us via Facebook. I know some of you are not able to be in person, so we also want to welcome you here as well. You know, as I was thinking back, what brings me joy in this holiday season, one of the things that really brought me a lot of joy was to witness the generosity here in our community, in our church. You know, I remember getting a phone call, or my wife got a text message from someone saying, "Hey, Pastor Chin, God just put in our heart to bless someone in your church. You know, can we just give them some money? You know, can you find a family in your church that might need help? And here it is. We want to bless them." And all of a sudden, my heart's just like, "Wow, Lord, thank you. You know, you are moving. You are showing that you care for our people." You know, and that brought me so much joy. You know, another thing that brought me joy, after a long, long year of just hearing about so much death in our community, is the birth of, Rebecca Whitehouse. Amen? Woo! You know, they're not able to make it here this morning, but that brought me so much joy that there is new life. Woo! That's so exciting. And we're so blessed by that. And I hope to be able to see them soon in our midst and celebrate with them and just rejoice with them. And I'm so grateful also that in this season there were a lot of people that were sick, and God has really been merciful to us in protecting us and helping us recover from sickness. And so I'm grateful for that. And Jim went through a surgery, as some of you might have known, a throat surgery, and he is recovering really well. And so praise God for that. And and they want to express their thank you for continue to praying for them and upholding them in your prayer. Amen. Well, this morning, you know, as we entering into the new year, you know, I thought about New Year resolutions. How many of you guys have New Year resolutions? Some of you do, some of you don't, right? Kind of ish. And I know my Facebook feed is filled with ads about working out and dieting and financial health and all sorts of things, you know? Because that's the time of the year, you know? We want to self-improve and grow. And so I was looking up some an article that talks about how it's better to make New Year's goal rather than New Year's resolution, right? And here's the main difference. Resolution is a promise to be kept indefinitely. A goal refers to a specific achievement by a specific date. For example, resolution goes something like this: I will go to the gym or exercise every day. You think that's something that you could keep? You know, it's like, oh, it's so vague, you know? By the time April rolls around, you're like, oh, I'm done with this, you know? And you don't show up to the gym anymore. So the best time to buy gym equipment, exercise equipment, is around April, when everyone has forgotten all their resolutions, you know? That's like the cheapest time to buy your treadmill. Anyway, I thought that was funny. But a goal goes something like this: I will run a 5K by April 30th. Right? Because there's something that's measurable, something that's tangible, something that you can keep track of, something that you can work towards, and there's a time attachment to it. Right? And people call this SMART goal, right? S-M-A-R-T. And S stands for specific, M stands for measurable, A for achievable, R is relevant, and T is timetable attached to that. So think about your this coming year. What are some goals you might want to set for yourself? And think of it in terms of, are they achievable? Right? Are they measurable? Are they specific to you and your situation? Are they even relevant? Like, you know, going to the, you know, my goal is to run 20 miles a day. That's like not relevant for me at all, right? It's not even achievable for me, you know? So maybe running 2 miles every other day, that is much more achievable for me. Okay, and it's something that I can keep track of. Now, as we're thinking about our personal goal, I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul's all-consuming goal for his life as he was nearing the end of it. And we find these powerful words in his letter to his friends at Philippi. And it's found in the letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Say something like this. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have made it, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eyes on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. These were the words of someone who had already accomplished so much for Jesus. Now, it's still unclear to scholars when Paul wrote these words. Many scholars believe that he wrote it towards the end of his life, somewhere in the early 80s, 60s. And Paul, people put his death at around maybe AD 64 to 65 under the persecution of Nero. But we don't know for sure. But yet, at the same time, other scholars might say, hey, this could have been written when he was, maybe 10 years earlier, mid-50s or something like that. But what we know for sure is that Paul was always consumed by a pursuit for Jesus Christ. Right? All of his ministry's life. And regardless of the circumstances, he was always preparing himself for the day where he would meet Jesus in person. Furthermore, he wrote in Philippians 1, chapter 21 to 20, verse 21 to 24, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Right, so this is we get a very intimate picture of Paul's inner feeling at the moment. He was in prison, most likely in Rome, right, and he was preparing himself for to go before the judge and to see whether he's going to live or die. Many years ago, I used to go to Marin County Jail to minister to inmates there, and a few days ago, I was reading through my journal, and in one of my journal from back in those days, some of the inmates were writing prayer requests in them, and all three of them were writing, would you please pray that God will grant me favor before the judge, right, that he would be lenient, that there would be mercy for me, and here Paul is at the end of his ministry career, being in prison. He was going to go before a judge that's going to decide his fate, but yet at the same time, he's looking towards a day where he is standing before even a greater judge. Jesus Christ himself, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And he knows that when he stands before this judge, that this judge is going to look at him and say, good and well, my servant. You have run a good race. You have been faithful. Right, that consumes him. That when he stands before God, that God is going to say, "Hey, well done, Paul. You kept your eyes on the price. You kept your heart on what really, really matters. You make it a priority in your life to share the good news of Jesus. To live in such a way that people can look at your life and go, he is a disciple. He is a follower of Jesus Christ." And these words were written not in the good times of his life, but actually in a time where he was facing a lot of hardship. And yet throughout the letters of Philippians, you notice the joy that is welling up inside of him. A joy that is not based on the circumstances that he was in, but based on the judgment that he's going to receive from his Lord and Savior one day. And I think that's so important for us to have that perspective coming into 2021. That as each one of us running the race before us that God is calling us to, we have confidence to look forward into the future in the day of Jesus Christ. Right? When Jesus Christ is going to look at all of us and say, you are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. Not because we're so good in ourselves. But why? Because Jesus paid the price for you and me. Right? Because we're found in Christ. Right? We're united to Jesus so that everything that Jesus has belongs to us. Right? Isn't that good? Isn't that wonderful? That we don't have to earn that judgment from God. We don't have to earn the announcement that God's going to want make one day before us, right? God's going to look at us and say, because of what Jesus did for you on the cross, I am happy with you. I am pleased with you. Come, come into my presence. Enjoy all that I have prepared for you. That's the meaning of Jesus when he said to his disciple before he left the earth, that he said, hey, I'm going to go to my Father. Right? I'm going to leave you here and I'm going to go to my Father because I'm going to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you will also be. And based on Jewish tradition, you know, that's a picture of Jesus going to prepare a place for his bride. Right? Just like in some culture, maybe like Indian culture or Asian cultures, usually the new bride will come and live with the groom's family. Right? And be part of an extended family. In Jewish cultures, the same way would happen. Right? The groom would go away after he betrothed to his wife, and there would be a one-year period of time where he would go back to his father's house, and he would build an extension to his father's house so that one day, a year from later, when everything is prepared, he can go and marry his wife and bring her to live with him and be a part of a new community. Isn't that beautiful? And so when Jesus said, hey, I go and prepare room for you, he's saying, church, you are my wife. I love you so much. I want to get married to you one day. And in the meantime, right, in the meantime that I am going away and, you know, to show that I am faithful to you, that I will keep this promise of coming back again to unite you with me forever, is that I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit as a down payment, as a token of my love, as a ring. Right? On your fingers to show you that I really do love you. So that's why we have the Holy Spirit living in us now as a promise ring for us that one day Jesus is going to marry us. Wow. When I think about that, it gives me so much hope and joy and gratitude. Now, why do I share all this to you this morning? Because I want us to start from the end, right? I want us to think about what the end goal looks like for God. What is his purpose for creating you and me? Because once we know what the end goal is, then we can begin to walk towards that goal, right? Just like New Year resolution or New Year goal. If you don't have an end goal, if you don't know what the purpose for 2021 for your life is, it's really hard to make any plan. You know, we're excited because in 2021, there are plans being put in place for our church to thrive. Right? And that's a good thing because we know where we're headed towards. We know where we're going. And God also wants us to know where this whole thing is heading towards. Right? And it's not heading towards something meaningless. It's not heading towards, you know, you being united with the Force one day. You know how Star Wars, right? When you die, you enter into the Force. You go back to this nebulous Force that is so impersonal. Right? No, you actually, when all this is done, you actually being united with your Creator. The one that created the whole entire universe. He created you with a purpose, with a design, that one day you and I can share an intimacy with him. 2 Peter tells us that we are to be in the divine with God. Right? And that's so good for us this morning. And for the next 8 weeks, okay, for the next 8 weeks, we're going to be exploring the letter that Paul wrote to his friends in Philippi. And in doing so, my hope is that we will really discover what it means to live in Christ. As not only individually, right, but as a community collectively. Right? Because salvation is not something that God called us just by ourselves. Right? Salvation is a journey that we join together with one another. That's what discipleship looks like. Okay, and I think that's really important because even Paul, in his letters to Philippians, go ahead and open Philippians chapter 1. Right off the bat, right, listen to what Paul is saying to his friends. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you all and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice right off the bat, Paul didn't just say, hey, Paul, to the church, right? No, Paul included his friend and his disciple, his co-worker, Timothy. I say, Christianity is not just not about me doing it on my own. Right? I have other people that I'm walking alongside with. His name is Timothy, a younger fellow servant of mine, right? And he addressed it not just to a few people in Philippi. He didn't say, hey, Paul and Timothy, to the super spiritual people of Philippi, right? Or Paul and Timothy to all together at Philippi, right? No, he said to all the saints in Philippi, to every believers who are called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an inclusiveness to that call, to that address. Right? One commentator is saying that just in the very first verse there, we see the nature of the church. That the church is to be a community of people who join together in solidarity, in worship, in service, and in humble love for one another. Right? And in humble service to people around us. Is that the picture that you see of the church today? Sometimes not, right? Sometimes yes, and sometimes not. Because why? We're all broken. We're all people in progress, right? Church is a very messy business. How many of you guys know that? Right? And some of you have experienced that, right? The messiness of it. And yet, there's something beautiful in that mess. Because God is a God that takes chaos and he shapes it to purposeful living, right? He wants us to thrive, and he's willing to enter our mess, right? That's what the incarnation of Jesus is all about, that God actually stooped down and say, hey, I'm going to humble myself and become a servant so that I can enter into all of your messes and so that I can make something beautiful. I think about, you know, quilting. How many of you guys like quilting? I'm not very familiar with quilting, but I've seen a lot of beautiful quilts. And I don't get it. You know, people take these wonderful pieces of cloth. I mean, they're good cloth. You know, and they cut them up, and then they put them back together. Right? And some of them, you know, you look closely, and you're like, whoa, what's going on? But when you step back far enough, then you see the patterns beginning to emerge, and you go, wow, that's a beautiful piece of art. Right? Someone put a lot of thought into that. And I feel like that's how God is with us. Each one of us are pieces of cloth, right? Different colors, different shapes, different texture maybe even, right? Different background. Some cloth are old, some cloth are new, you know? Some have great patterns, some maybe not, you know? But then in the hand of an expert quilt maker, right? All those pieces can be shaped to express something that beyond all the parts together, right? Does that make sense? And that's what Jesus is doing for all of us. Right? Richard Gula, in his book, The Good Life on the Intersection of Faith and Ethics, wrote, after Jesus comes to church, we cannot become disciples all on our own. We learn discipleship by being initiated into it by others. To be like Jesus requires that we become part of a community pledged to be faithful to him. Unless we establish strong bonds of solidarity with others who share in friendship with Christ, we will not be able to remain committed to discipleship. We need flesh and blood instances from which we learn what friendship with God involves and how discipleship might be lived every day. Right? You and I need each other in this new year. Right? None of us can be lone rangers in our faith. And I'm thinking about, you know, even in ministry here at this church, right, we all need each other, giftings and abilities. I can't do it alone. I'm very limited. I know myself. I only have a few good tools, you know. I have a lot of blind spot. And so we need all of you to participate in this journey together. Because the Bible tells us that iron sharpens iron. And yet the challenge here is that many of us, myself included, we are afraid to sometimes fully participate, fully engage, fully to give our life. Because, frankly, many of us have been hurt by church before. Right? Or maybe we've been hurt in other settings, other community settings. You know, and for me, my personality as a Enneagram 3, right? Success is very important to me. And so guess what happened? Psychologically, sometimes I'm shy away from taking on things that there's a chance of failures. Right? Because I want to succeed so badly that I'm like, hey, you know, I don't want to try new things. Because I know if I try new thing and take risks, maybe there's a chance that I'm not going to be good at it. How many of you guys can relate to that? Right? And so then you don't take the risk, and you don't try new thing, and you don't grow, right? And this stunt your own personal growth. And so in my own spiritual formation, I've had to learn to find my identity in Christ. That success is not about, you know, accomplishing certain things, but knowing that I am already loved by God. That God is already looking at me as a winner, in a sense, right? God already looked and said, hey, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased with. Take courage in that, Chin. Take comfort in knowing that you are mine. You belong to me. And because of that, you can take risk with relationship with other people around you. That you can give generously, knowing that I will supply all your needs. Right? I grew up poor, and so sometimes my mentality is like, you know, I want to hold on to things. Right? You know, it's like I hate throwing things away, you know, even though I'm never going to touch them ever again, right? And my sister came down and said, hey, Chin, you need to look at these things and, you know, and do this thing give you joy, you know? It's like, no. Then get rid of it. Give it to someone else, you know? And I'm like, no! You know? Why? Because there's a poverty mentality. Because I grew up hoarding things. And it takes freedom from the Lord Jesus Christ to come and show me that He is a generous God. I can never outgive Him. And in doing so, it relaxes me and says, okay, whew, okay, God, I can trust you in stepping out in faith and getting rid of things and giving generously, not out of fear, but out of joy, knowing, God, that you are there for me. You know, community is messy because it always involves people. And people are messy. It's about people hauling their brokenness and baggage into your house and dumping it in your living room. Right? That's what someone said. Heather Zembel in her book called Community is Messy, saying community is messy because we're all broken. And as a church, when we gather together, we bring all of our brokenness, right? All of our baggages. All of our hurt, all of our pain, all the broken promises, all the betrayals that we have experienced, and we bring it, and we have to deal with it, right? And I believe that in Philippians chapter 1 here, God gives us the resources to be able to deal with the mess that we have when we come together. And so first of all, we learn that a Christian community is a home structure around God's gift of grace and peace. I want to say that again. A Christian community or the church is a home. Right? It's God's home. It's God's house. When we see that right in verse 2, grace to you and peace from God. Not just any God. Not just like the Hindu God, Brahma, right? That so much of Star Wars is based on, this nebulous God that is not personal at all, right? He doesn't love anyone. He doesn't care for anyone, right? Whether you're good or bad, one day it's all just the same thing, merge all together. No, it's not that kind of nebulous God, but it's a very, we serve a personal God who comes to us as what? Abba, Father. Wow. That's radical, right? That is one of the greatest revelation that Christianity can offer the world, that you and I serve a loving Father that comes to us and say, hey, you are my son, you are my daughter. You belong here in the family of God. We have the sign here every time we come, welcome home. And it's true. It is full of meaning. Not because each of us have made it a home, right? You know, not because of our own effort. But why? Because God himself is the one that's making this a home for us by his Spirit, pouring out on each one of us, renewing our mind, right? Pouring out his love, shedding his love abroad in our heart so that we can cry, Abba, Father. And we know that through the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 2 says that. Right? When each and every one of us are united by faith to Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that we have the privilege of becoming sons and daughters of God, and according to the Gospel of John. And because of that, we have grace and peace with God. Now, these two words really sum up the fullness of salvation and of God's ultimate purpose for creating us. This short greeting expressed something profoundly Christian, profoundly unique, right? That the deep communion with God through Jesus Christ is the crowning gift that God has for humanity. God wants to give us intimacy with him and a union of life between the Creator and the creatures. In sum, salvation is not a thing, right? Salvation is a person, Jesus himself. It's being welcomed home to our Father's house through the special pleading of our big brother, Jesus Christ. Right? How many of you guys know the phrase, may the force be with you? I like to use that example because I think that's it really clearly differentiates Christianity and other religion, right? And sometimes when I hear that, I'm kind of like snarky, you know, in my head. I'm like, may the force be with you. Which side of the force? The dark or the light? Right? Which side will be with you, you know? It's like, that's kind of dumb, you know? It's so vague. But here in this greeting, it's very personal. It's addressed each one of us that say God comes to you as a person who loves you, as a father who cares for you, as the Lord Jesus Christ who sustains you, and as the Holy Spirit who upholds you and who lives in you to pray and to intercede for you. I take so much comfort knowing right now, regardless of how 2021 is going to be, I don't know. You don't know, right? What's going to happen in 2021. But I take comfort in knowing that God knows. And I take so much great comfort in knowing that he is in heaven praying for you and me right now to succeed, to grow in the knowledge of who he is. Paul tells us that our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And we find that in Philippians chapter 3. Furthermore, when we think about grace is not just a word that we throw around that means getting out of jail for free. How many of you guys have ever heard of that before, right? Grace is not about, hey, you can do over a million times, right? That's not a biblical understanding of grace, right? There's mercy in that. Yes, God forgives you when you ask for forgiveness, but grace goes beyond that, right? Grace is God enabling power in us to work and to will what he pleases. Right? God has a desire for all of us to be sanctified, to be holy, to be righteous, to be loving, to be kind, to humble ourselves in serving our neighbors. And none of us can do any of that in our own effort and ability. We depend on the very empowerment of God Himself. Look at verse 6 here. Here's what Paul is saying about God's grace working in our life to the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 6. And I am sure of this. I am absolutely confident of this, Paul said, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. I love that about God. I love that he didn't just call us to himself, right? But he is invested in bringing us to the finish line. And he will empower us to do so, Paul said. I am confident of that. I'm absolutely sure that whatever God has started in us here at Northgate Community Church, he is going to bring it to the end. Right? God has a picture in mind of what this church, of this community, of what your family is to look like. Isn't that good? Right? How many of you guys think that's good? Raise your hand. Right? You know, that gives me something of a little bit of a calmness in my spirit, because I know that it's not by my own effort. Right? I can relax. I can come to church and relax. I can come to work, relax. I can come and fellowship with you and be relaxed, knowing that, hey, Chin, it's not up to you as much as you think it is. No, it's not. Right? It's really God's working in you, in the people, in your friends, in the relationship here at this church to accomplish the purpose of God. How many of you guys have ever gone to a half-shaped balance ball before to work out? You guys know what I'm talking about? It's like this balancing thing, and it's a half dome. It's very squishy. It's really hard to get on if you are a tense. Right? Like, you get on it, you're falling backward, forward. But the moment that you relax and your muscles are not tense and you just step on it and you just breathe, you find your balance. Right? And you can do all your squatting with weight and no problem. Right? And I think that's the spiritual life for us too. The more we try harder, the more we try to control ourselves or control others, right? The more we try to push and pull and in our own ability and effort, the more we're going to find ourselves off balance in our spiritual walk with God, right? And we won't be able to fully exercise all the gifts and the spiritual muscle that God wants us to exercise. But the moment we be still and relax, right? The Bible, one of the Psalms say, be still and know that I am what? God. Right? That word be still in Hebrew means be relaxed, right? Relax your hand, relax your shoulder. Relax, breathe, take a deep breath in 2021. Okay? Know that I am God. I am in control of your life. I know what's coming up in a month. I know what's going to come up in 2 years. I know what's going to come up in 100 years from now. And because of that, you can trust that I am here for you. Right? And I have your interest in mind, that I love you, church. Right, this year we celebrate 101 year here in Manteca. What a privilege that is. I'm not sure, 100 years ago when people started this church, they ever envisioned that this day is going to be here. Right? And yet God in his faithfulness has allowed this church to be here for 100 years. And so we can trust that God will continue to work in our lives. Amen? That is God's grace and God's peace at work in us. Now, the last point here that I really want to bring out is that God's grace and God's peace has a purpose in it. Right? There's a directional that God gives us with his grace and his peace. It's not just for us, but it's so that we can share that grace and peace with people around us. And the second point here is that God's grace and peace gives us partnership. Right? Opens up partnering opportunity for us to minister In verse 8, it says, "For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and to be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." The first partnership that God wants us is that God wants all of us to be holy together. Right? We're a community that to uplift one another in prayers with the utmost deep affection of our heart. Church, I've been praying for you because it's the love of God that's welling up in me for you. Right? There's night when I wake up and I'm like, God, I love my people. I love this church. Right? And so you are in my prayer, church, because God loves you. And I want to encourage us that in 2021, more than ever before, we would be a people that have that fervent affection for one another, expressed in deep prayer for one another. I really truly believe that when we pray together, we stay together. Amen? Even in your marriage, right? That's an encouragement even in my own life. As I look back, I'm like, man, I need to pray more with Rachel, right? Because prayer shapes us. Prayer brings us together like nothing else. And we have experienced that in some way here. But I think that we can really grow more in that. And then secondly, we can partnering with God in the work of the ministry. Right? And let's see. Look at verse 7. "It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partaker with me of grace," right? "Both in my imprisonment and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel." What is Paul talking about here? What Paul is alluding to is that this church has been faithfully giving financially to the work of the ministry. Right? And we find that actually in 2 Corinthians, where Paul brag about this church, this small church. It was about maybe 50 to about 75 people. Right? And they were not a very wealthy church. They're actually a very poor church that was experiencing a lot of hardship and persecution. And in the midst of that hardship and persecution, they financially supported Paul. Okay, you find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches." That's the church in Philippi right there. "In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty well up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectation, because they gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us." And so the letter to the Philippians, in one way, was a thank you letter for their missionary support to Paul. And notice, when Paul talks to the church of Corinth, which was a very rich church, and say, "Hey, look, Corinth, you need to pay attention to the example of the church in Philippi." They were a people that were in extreme poverty. And yet God raised them up by his grace to invest into the kingdom of God. I believe that our church is one of those church. We might not be rich financially in resources, but you know what? God has so much gifting in all of us that God wants to use our life to be a blessing to our community here in Manteca. And God will multiply it. Not based on what we have in the bank account, right? Because we notice here, the Philippians didn't have much. They were actually extremely poor, Paul said. But God, by his grace, was able to raise them up to do amazing things for his glory. So when we look back in 2000 at 2021, my desire is that we're going to be able to say, "Wow, God, you multiply what we have meagerly offered to you." Because we did it with all of our heart. We did it with a heart of sincerity, a heart of love. And like Paul said, they did it out of worship to the Lord. They gave themselves first to the Lord. Amen? Amen. So for our church resolution, I have maybe one thought. Right? As a church, I hope that in 2021, right, for the next 6 months, we're gonna be a blessing specifically in whatever ministry outreach we do. We're gonna reach 250 people, right, through our presence, whether it's showing up to the shelter here in town and cook a meal, or this coming Saturday to Sandback. I think Pastor Jesse said that there are about 50 people using that shelter. There's 50 lives right there that we can practically reach. And maybe through our continued work in Escaton, where we continue to fill those lunch bags, right? That we will continually, overwhelmingly, generously pour out our life into the community, because God has generously and graciously reached us in Christ. Let us pray. Stand together and let the worship team come. In this new year, I pray that why don't we all stand before the Lord this morning? And there's two things I want you to do. Maybe just take a moment and breathe and relax. And just say, Lord, this new year, I give it to you. Trustingly, by your grace, I receive your grace and peace into my life. Maybe that's what God wants us to do this morning. For some of us, maybe you're facing some situation in life that's out of your control. And God say, be still and know that I am God. And perhaps you just need to receive the blessing that Paul declared to the church of Philippi, which was going through extreme hardship at that time. And Paul say to them, grace and peace to you from the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may I speak that over you this morning. Grace and peace to you, Northgate Community Church. Go ahead and raise your hand and just receive that from the Lord. Grace and peace. And just breathe and say, Lord, I receive your love. Help me to relax today. Help me to know that you are in control of 2021. Help me to know that you are my Abba, Father. Help me to know that I am home in your presence. And that you are a good, good Father to me. And then for some of us, God is challenging you to give yourself more fully to the work of the Lord here in this church, in this community. And like Paul said to the Corinthians, the people in Philippi, first they gave themselves to the Lord out of worship, out of reverence, love for Christ. And then out of that giving themselves to the Lord, then they generously gave of their resources and energy and time. May we do that now at the beginning of this year. Give ourselves afresh to the Lord. And let us worship now.